across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet by webcast and by podcast. My name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Well, I hope that everything is good with you. We are still in the middle of the summer here in the United Kingdom, but you wouldn't know it by looking out of the window here. I think we had 1.5 days of sunshine. Now, the skies are grey and it's been raining again today. I don't know where all of that rain goes. They must be storing it somewhere. And I sincerely hope that our water companies are not going to start telling us that we're short of water and there's a hose pipe ban and other restrictions, because we've had tons of the stuff falling from the sky for weeks upon weeks. You know, I'd almost begun to forget what the sun looked like. And you know, I don't do well in rotten weather, okay? I don't. I have to do all sorts of things to keep myself happy, look at YouTube videos of places where the weather's better than this. But anyway, it will improve. And I know the Brits go on and on and on about the weather, so I'm stopping here now. Thank you for all of your emails. Please keep those coming through my website, theunexplained.tv. Follow the link and you can send me an email from there. And if your email requires a reply, then please know that I will get back to you. And if I'm a little late doing that, please forgive me. And if you haven't had a reply, please send me a reminder. Okay, thank you. Thank you to Adam, my webmaster, for his ongoing hard work. Now, as I sit here and speak, the UAP story is still very much in and out of the headlines. It is being reflected, sometimes badly mishandled, by the mainstream media, who just are not equipped to do it and don't seem to understand it or turn it into a joke. But it isn't a joke. We know it's not a joke. We know that there is substance to this, and we've reached a point of no turning back. Either we're about to hear a big truth fairly soon, or we're never going to, is my current thinking on that. But that may change. Who knows? So, two very important guests on this edition of The Unexplained. The first one is my friend Jeremy Corbell, from the Weaponized podcast and his filmmaking efforts, very well known. And, of course, the man who was sitting there in front of the TV cameras, you could see him on the Congressional Oversight Committee hearing a couple of weeks back. So Jeremy Corbell, right at the heart of this, we'll have a long conversation with him, taken from my TV show. And that'll be followed by another item from that TV show, Professor Avi Loeb, with the latest from his Galileo project. So two very important things here. This edition of The Unexplained, slightly shorter than normal, but two important things I wanted to get out to you. And the next edition of The Unexplained that you will see is a cryptozoology special, which will be longer than usual, with Tony Healy down in Australia. Some great stuff about Yowie and a lot of other material too. That is one not to miss. Lovely man, great topic. I think that's probably all I have to say now. Only to tell you that the TV show is not on the 20th of August, so there will be no television show on the 20th of August. The show will appear on radio on that date. And, you know, more details on my Facebook page, nearer the time, as they say. Item number one, then, on this edition of The Unexplained, Jeremy Corbell. What I have to say to you, and I think it's true, this is the furthest down this road that we have been in 50, 75 years. So I think we're doing pretty well. Who knows what will come out next? I was interested to read this piece in The Hill this week. The Hill is a website that specializes in the affairs of Washington, D.C. and the government there. This was written by Rear Admiral Tim Gallaudet. He is retired U.S. Navy, but he's also part of Avi Loeb's Galileo project. Avi will be on in a few minutes from now. This is part of what he wrote, and I recommend that you look at this piece, if you can, on The Hill this week. It may take some time for society to come to grips with the historic hearing, but we will be best served by immediately responding as follows. Point one, the U.S. Congress should continue to demand the Department of Defense and intelligence community disclose UAP information, data, and materials to the public. Point two, the U.S. government should show leadership in international scientific studies of UAPs. Point three, the U.S. research community should significantly expand the scientific study of UAPs. Our tiny planet orbits a relatively medium-sized star in a galaxy of more than 100 billion stars among a distribution of several hundred billion galaxies in the observable universe. How arrogant, then, to believe that we are the only species that's developed a means for travel between celestial bodies. Now that we're finding out otherwise, we must demand disclosure of what the government knows. instead of staying asleep at the wheel, we should wake up as a society for the safety, security and scientific advantages that can be gained from that. Well, like I say, in a moment we talk with the founder of the Galileo Project about that, partly, Professor Avi Loeb. First, a key figure in where we're at now, in the affairs of man and maybe the affairs of another space-faring civilization. Jeremy Corbell is here, investigative journalist, filmmaker, and these days podcaster with George Knapp, the Weaponized podcast. Jeremy, thank you for making time for me. It's very good of you to do this.
Always make time for you. Thank you so much for covering this before it was cool.
Well, you know, we were there, weren't we, from the very beginning, and even before in some cases. What was it like to be sitting behind Tim Burchett, to be at that hearing? How did that feel?
Yeah, so, you know, people like to call me the haunt because for some reason, there I am, right? You know, there's a reason for that. You know, I was there actually sitting right behind two out of the three people that I, you know, convinced to do this. I mean, they wanted to tell Commander David Fravor and also David Grush that they wanted to tell. But, look, it's a stressful environment. People are patriots. It's like this conflict that's going on. And then you had as well, Lieutenant Ryan Graves, and all three of them, it was outstanding. It was historic. For your audience that doesn't understand, this is the first time in history that we had direct eyewitnesses. One was a whistleblower, that was David Grush, but you had Lieutenant Graves and you had Commander David Fravor, head of the Black Aces, closest thing to Top Gun and Tom Cruise, except more badass than anybody. And there he is telling you how he chased a UFO. He engaged it. And look, David Grush is a whistleblower. We need to protect him. We need to find out and make sure that we can get to the bottom of the problems that he found in the theft and the stealing. It's not even about UFOs so much. It is about UFOs. But sitting there was really surreal, Howard. And I helped plan the hearings. I helped set them up. I helped get witnesses, that kind of thing. Nominated people, whatever, educated people. So that's why I'm sitting there. That's why George Knapp is sitting there. And that's why right behind David Grush was his lawyer. His name is Chuck. Chuck was formerly with Compass Rose, and he is representing David Grush. Doesn't it make sense to have your lawyer when you're a whistleblower and everybody wants to attack you, that you have somebody behind you saying, hold, don't go too far. We're not in a classified setting. So it was really cool. That's the best way to say it.
He was pressed, wasn't he, was David, about the sort of intimidation that he says that he received when he came out and wanted this stuff to be revealed. And the words that he used were fascinating to me because they were very clearly, carefully chosen. Two words, administrative terrorism. I'm sure you picked up on that.
Of course. I mean, so it's no secret that David Grush came to George Knapp and me first for protection. That was maybe 14 months ago, something like that. I've got a bad memory for that. But he came to us and, you know, he wasn't saying go report on this. He was saying, look, I'm about to expose and I will prove it to you, but I am going to expose some things and I need backup, man. I need to know that when I go do this, that people know this story, they know what's going on. So he used words very precisely because they're true. So when you say administrative terrorism, when we talk about people being threatened, unfortunately, I can report to you now, I know for sure 100% that happens. And I wanna talk your audience through a very simple logic flow. There's four things you need to understand. First is UFOs are real. That's not a matter of opinion. That's not a matter of something you can doubt. That's not something that we are arguing anymore. Now, what UFOs are, we'll get into that. The second thing you need to understand is that our government has been reverse engineering. The US and the UK government has been involved. The Five Eyes Alliance and more has been involved in reverse engineering non-human technology. That's what they call it, NHI, non-human intelligence. So they just say craft of unknown origin. That's the easy way for everybody to understand. We don't know who made these. Once you understand that as fact, which it is, then we move into the next part, which is that has been hidden from you. That has been hidden from you illegally. There are crimes that have been committed. So once you understand those three things, which are true and consensus reality needs to catch up and quick, then we get to the really kind of more interesting part, which is if illegality has been the function of government, or I'll say of subset of government and private industry, what would make you think that all of a sudden people are trying to open doors and do things legally now? That's not the case. What people were capable of yesterday, they are capable of today. And my dad used to tell me when he was around, he used to say this: do not be surprised when people act in character. And so I, again, am sitting here kind of shocked to report to you that that is happening today, these illegalities, these pressures, these reprisals, these threats, and worse. So with that said, you don't need to believe it. It's true, and consensus reality will catch up one day, either the hard way or the easy way. And I hope it's the easy way, which is listen to people that have been telling you what's been going on, and that's what's going on.
Right. So you're saying that the security services, those who guard the secrets, have been behaving true to form because that's their job, or it has been for these last 7 decades, whatever. Rather like if you swim close to an alligator, if you go to its side and you get too near to it, don't be surprised if it's going to bite you. They are doing what's in their instinct and their nature. Do you think we're going to get to the stage? Are we getting to the point, do you know we are, where those people, those dogs, are going to be called off, which will allow further whistleblowers to come forward? Is that happening?
Yeah, dogs already been leashed, right? So look, that this is the issue. There are good people in government. There are good, patriotic people within our system of government. Those are the true warriors, the true heroes. So already I can tell you that the genie is out of the bottle, the toothpaste is out of the tube, whatever you want to say. There is no going back, even if you moonwalk from Z to A. This is it. This is it. So it's a matter of people realizing at this point, there is no moving back. So
I'm getting now, all right. Can I just jump in here? Sorry, because you know what time is like on TV, Jeremy. Just to say this, I've got a number of emails, and look, most people are as excited as I am about this whole thing. I think it's an amazing stage of history to be at, and I'm glad to be alive for it. But they've been emailing saying, okay, all of them talked in generalities. They talked about, you know, some of them said they talked about secondhand experiences, which they didn't. They talked about things that they'd experienced. But what they want is the photographs. They want the pieces of material. They want the pictures of the alien bodies. They want that stuff. And they don't understand, some of the people who email me, maybe they email you too, why they haven't got that. And I've been trying to say to them, in the only way that I can, because I'm another stage removed from it, you haven't got it yet, but you might well be about to get it. What do you say?
Yeah, well, I will say I understand the frustration because I share that frustration. There are things that I have seen or obtained that you can't put out because of legal matters. But look, I want to keep doing what I'm doing and national security and that kind of thing. But not just me. There's tons of people. There's tons of evidence. There's tons of footage. There are 4 extra minutes of the gimbal UFO footage that has been hidden from the American public. I can tell you that with 100% certainty.
Have you seen it?
So even just that footage itself, right? Mm-hmm. Even just that footage itself.
Have you seen it?
That would be, have I seen what?
That 4 hidden minutes.
Couldn't say, Howard, that's the issue here, right? The issue is we wanna be transparent. We wanna be open. We wanna make sure, but you gotta protect sources, A, number one, when you're doing anything like this. So here's the deal, ma'am. There's a lot that I have seen that the public hasn't, but there is far more that I haven't seen. So I share the public's interest, their desire. So it shows you the insatiable attitude to know the truth. Our public can handle the truth no matter what it is, and it is coming out. So with that said, man, look, there's gonna be an ontological shock, you know, this total reframing of our understanding, if it is true, everything that appears to be true. It's a double-edged sword. Once you prove to people UFOs are real and that they're not from here, then you start questioning a lot of other things, and they're questions that nobody wants asked. Nobody.
Right. Do you think that as a result of the hearing, and we know that there's probably going to be another hearing in Washington, maybe September, there's more to come. There's NASA's investigation. Do you think, from what you're hearing, that behind the scenes in Washington, D.C., and I don't understand if it isn't happening in London, it should be, the government of the United States of America, even though it's staring down the barrel of another presidential election, it's got other things to think about. Do you believe that your policymakers, your politicians, are at this moment making a plan?
Oh, I can tell you for sure. A plan has not only been made, it has been enacted. When you see someone like AOC and Representative Tim Burchett sitting there agreeing on stuff, you know that's dangerous. Curiosity is dangerous. It's like a curse, Howard. And when you get curious, and you get to curious to the point where you are dangerous, you know, you're going to find out the truth. There's a couple people, by the way, you should have on your show. Great, great journalists. Christopher Sharp or Chris Sharp from Liberation Times and Matt Ford from The Good Trouble Show. Those guys, they are dangerous. And you should talk with them because there's some people, there's some journalists in this field that don't have a personal agenda other than figuring out the truth. Those are the people you want to speak with. There's a lot of voices you haven't heard from yet, and I really hope you start talking with people like
that. Jeremy, if you can help me to connect with them, you know that I'm 3,000 miles the other side of the Atlantic, or if you're on the West Coast, I'm 6,000 miles away from you. So, you know, trying to get the message over is a little more difficult than
you're in the United States. I got you. There's something called a cell phone. I got you.
But, you know, yeah, exactly. You wrote a great letter. I have got that letter. You were good enough to publish this to the people on the committee. And it basically, George wrote one as well, set out where we're at the moment. One of the things revealed in George's letter, and you work with George Knapp, was this thing about Russian military engagement, Russian air engagement with UAPs and possibly shooting at them. Now, we had a conversation around about February this year where you talked about the fact that you knew that some of these things had been militarily engaged. Was that what you were talking about then?
Yeah, I have proof. And I told you that we're going to have that conversation. And I told you that's going to come out. And I'm telling you, it is. There's no stopping that. So let's get back to what you just said, though. There were five witnesses there for the hearing. George and I were supposed to talk initially, but we realized, and everybody realized, you need to hear from the firsthand people first. So there, you got it. But we did submit statements on congressional record. Mine was an overview. And mine was basically about the estimate of the situation, speaking generality for the people that have spoken with me and what I have heard and I have learned over the years. So anybody can read that. George Knapp's was specific. He named names. He talked about programs, program names. I encourage everybody to go look on the congressional records, and I'll probably put it on social media. Read those. Those are informed testimonies, informed statements. And I really think people should read those.
In your knowledge now, from what you know with your finger on the pulse at the moment, do you think that some of the whistleblowers that we've been talking about, I heard one estimate of 40 whistleblowers or thereabouts in the wings ready to go. What kind of state of readiness do you believe tonight those people are in?
Armed to the teeth.
Wow. And the kind of, and look, I'm sure that you know more that you can tell me tonight, and that's all right. You know, you tell me what you want to tell me, and that's cool with me, because it's great to have you on the show.
I'm not trying to be coy. It's not.
No, I get it.
I want to tell you everything.
I totally get it.
David Grush wanted to tell you everything. It's just that the legality of it and making sure that that happens properly is so important for the historical record of how this is done.
Yeah, and exactly. If you trip on this route, you're going to fall a long way. So I understand that entirely. But those 40 people, if there are 40 people, maybe there are more. What do you think, what's your best guess, is the kind of stuff they're going to come out with?
Oh, I think you'll be hearing directly from people that have worked on these technologies, people that might even have their clearances held in a kind of purgatory so they can't leave. I think that you're going to hear directly from people that ran programs, which, by the way, there were supposed to be two other legacy UFO program witnesses, one from an agency, that actually have much more of the story than you or me or anybody else. So that didn't happen. That should tell you something. So who are you going to hear from? As long as there's not some major problem that occurs, oh, you're going to hear from everybody involved. I mean, you're going to hear, man. This is something that's coming out. I'm telling you, there's no stopping it now. It's just a matter of vetting it all as you go, piece by piece, to start to understand a different version of what you've been told that reality is.
When's this going to happen, Jeremy? Do you think September?
I do not predict things I do not have direct control on my finger on the button of. But I will tell you, not only have plans been made, they have been enacted to make sure to protect people. How the world handles David Grush is going to change everything. It will be the easy way, or it will be the hard way, because David Grush is telling you how it is, what he knows, and he's got a lot more to say. So how he's handled gives permission to everybody else to come forward the right way compared to the wrong way, which would be through directly through a journalist like me. I'm always passing people forward through the right way.
Yeah, because you have to. As we look at it tonight, it surprises and shocks me. Does it surprise you that we haven't had an official line taken by the various governments of the world? I'm talking about us, the French, the Australians, the Canadians, the New Zealanders. This is important stuff. And if all of these things come out in the fullness of time, which I have a feeling they will, then it's time, as you say, for an international response to this. Do you think that behind the scenes that is happening, or is this going to catch them in London and Paris and Madrid and everywhere else by surprise?
We have to remember our past to know where we are going. And if people remember, just on my show, Weaponized with George, we released a letter from a Canadian minister and a parliamentary member. And in that letter, they talked about the foreign materials program from the Five Eyes, right? Which is our coordinated Five Eyes.
Which is partly us.
It is. And so it talked about that, but it also talked about a triad, three other countries working together, and that our country, or Canada at that point in that letter, needed to get ahead of it to not erode the trust of their citizens. So I would say, is this something we're going to see on a governmentary, you know, kind of coordinated thing? Nothing is coordinated. That's what I've learned. This is UFO Vietnam. Nothing is coordinated properly from my perspective. But here we are, and I've already provided that to the public. That letter has been authenticated. That is correct information, and it's true. So basically, we need to remember that there's already stress being put on governments where they're saying, man, this is coming out. We better make an announcement. We better do something. And his warning was not heeded, and they tried to shut it down with some lies. Happens all the time. That letter's true, and they have direct knowledge of it.
The takeaway phrase from this conversation, I think, tonight, Jeremy, is this is UFO Vietnam.
It is. You know,
this is very hard for a lot of people to take on board. And I think that's why some of our media haven't really quite understood it. And I understand that because you and me and George and people like us have been at this for years, right? So
yeah, man.
We're amazed that we're here. We can't quite, but we're pinching ourselves, you know, is this really true? But the rest of the media is trying to get a handle on this because the story is so big. It is the greatest story ever told. And the scale of it, when this happens, is going to beyond shock people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay. We are all learning new things every day. We just learned recently that our universe as we know it is more than double the size than what we thought. Okay, great. So we are constantly redefining the fabric of the universe that we live in. And I get that. So have patience. Have patience with everybody. You shouldn't believe something because someone says it. Right. You just got to take your time, look at the information and adapt. Human beings are so beautiful. We are adaptable. We can change. We flow like water. Absolutely. We can handle this. And it's coming out no matter what, easy way or the hard way. And yeah, this is UFO Vietnam. And, you know, I've been putting out fires for the last 2 weeks, but all I got is gasoline. So this is just now going crazy, man. We're lobbing UFO grenades, man. This is what's going on. But remember, doing it with love. We're doing it. All of us together trying to get the information out. We want people to catch up. We want the news to catch up. We want people to start embracing whatever the truth may be about what UFOs represent to humanity.
Bring it on, Jeremy. Thank you so much for helping me again. You take care. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
And my thanks to my friend Jeremy Corbell for his help with my show. Let's hear now from another friend of the show, Professor Avi Loeb from the Galileo Project. Professor Avi Loeb, let's get him on now. He heads the Galileo Project. At the top of the show, we had the words of retired Rear Admiral, this man, Tim Gallaudet. I'm sure I've mispronounced his name, but he's part of the Galileo Project, former US Navy top man. So let's get into this. Avi, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure.
I don't think we've spoken at any great length, Avi, since the UAP hearing 10 days ago. As far as you're hearing it and you're looking at all of this from a scientific perspective, an evidence-driven perspective, what did you make? What has the reaction been?
I think the most important outcome is that David Grush was willing to provide contact details to the representatives such that they can find those people who have been involved in the programs that he claims the U.S. government was engaged in. That includes retrieval and reverse engineering of alien spacecraft. And if he's telling the truth, these Congress people should be able to get to the bottom of it. And so I think within the coming months, maybe up to a year, we should know. Because if they find nothing, then we know it was a fabricated story. However, if there's anything behind it, we will hear more. And it's possible that some of these materials are held by corporations, and that's why we don't know much about it, because those corporations are just like psychiatrists. If you go to a psychiatrist, the chance that your problems will be solved are really small, because if the psychiatrist solves the patient's problem, the patient will never pay the psychiatrist anymore. And so these corporations would like the government to pay them, the Department of Defense. They will keep saying that they haven't yet figured it out. But that's not the right approach. I think any such materials should be shared with scientists who can make sense of it, the most brilliant minds in the world. And hiding it is just not the right approach.
Do you know, I'd never considered that before. Thank you for that, Avi. Do you believe that big corporations who've been involved in this on a need-to-know basis have been over the decades stalling?
Yeah, it's quite possible. The only sense I can make of this story is that somehow, you know, the materials or whatever information exists was spread thin by, you know, distributing it outside government. And then also the means of communication of any findings would be compromised. And it's just, you know, if nobody knows about it and it's held far away, then it would never be revealed. However, if something like that exists, I think scientists can make much more sense of whatever is out there. Now, this is on the government side, you know, we can wait for this to be revealed. But as a scientist, you know, I realize that the sky is not classified. The oceans are not classified. So I'm trying to get my own evidence. I just led an expedition a month ago and we retrieved the materials from the first recognized interstellar meteor. And we are now analyzing these materials. And, you know, the question, the fundamental question is whether the information about interstellar space would be first revealed from the bottom of the Pacific Ocean or from Washington, D.C.
So it's a bit of a race. Who do you think will be first? How's progress going with the items that you got from the ocean bed there were called spherules, little spheres of metal.
Right.
How long now, is the analysis taking?
By now we found of order 700 of them.
700?
You know, we're studying them, and I hope that within a month from now, we will have a paper reporting the preliminary results. But I have no idea whether there is anything real that the government is hiding or how long it will take to get there. It depends where it is and what is it. Let's just wait and see. So I'm not necessarily optimistic because the government, you know, has its way of becoming opaque by not sharing information among different parts of government.
That's part of how it works, I think. You'll see that here in London, I'm sure. Tim, have I pronounced his name right? Gallaudet? the retired Rear Admiral, US Navy. He's part of your Galileo project. Writing on The Hill this week, he said, essentially, he made three key points, and they all boil down to the fact that what we've got to have is transparency with, quotes, information, data, and materials. Those things have got to be shared with the public.
Right. Tim reported about his own personal experience where he saw something unusual and the data was confiscated. He never saw it again. And that led him to suspect that, you know, there are lots of such objects that are not being reported about or ridiculed or dismissed. And that's why he feels strongly that, you know, there might be something out there and that the U.S. government is not really attending to it in the proper way. And he's one of the best advocates for disclosure. So, you know, the good news is now we have a path towards figuring out whether there is something out there. And also there is a piece of legislation that will be part of the defense budget to be approved by President Biden in December. And that part calls for the establishment of an entity that would seek direct evidence and will be only under the supervision of the president. Nine people from civil origin, I mean, not government employees, and they would be able to follow the evidence, follow the whatever they learn about the government studies of UAP.
Very quickly, and we've only got seconds, Avi, thank you very much for helping me again. This is evidence-driven. Tim Gallaudet said that. You've been saying this. We need evidence. That's how scientists work. Since the UAP hearing, or even around that time, maybe a little before that, but in this period, has anybody been sending you evidence?
No, I get a steady flux of people's personal experiences and reports, but nothing that appears to be of high quality from the direction of government. I haven't received any of that.
Professor Abilob, thank you so much. We will talk again. And you say that the preliminary report on those ferules found off Papua New Guinea will be released in a month or so. So we have to talk, you know, at least before or around then. Abilob, Professor of Science, Harvard University, founder of the Galileo Project. Always interesting to hear the considered views of Avi Loeb, a man of science, on this show. And before him, Jeremy Corbell, investigator and man right at the core of the UAP developing story. More great guests in the pipeline here at the Home of the Unexplained, and don't forget the Cryptozoology Special, which is the next edition coming up. So until next we meet, my name is Howard Hughes. This has been The Unexplained Online, and please, whatever you do, stay safe, stay calm, and above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.